love to ask.
Okay.
All right, you do.
Welcome to Getting Better. I am Ann Beal, your host, and I am joined today at NRB. We are actually in Nashville at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I have the Rabbi Jason Stovall, and he is here. I would say he's from The Chosen, but he does so many other things. My co-host is Dr. Jim Slaughter.
Hi, everybody. Good to be with you today.
I'm excited to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be with you all.
You do so many things. You have your new book, The Mysteries of the Messiah. Is this your second book?
It's the second major publication.
Oh, okay.
And then your first book was?
The Rock, the Road, and the Rabbi with Kathy Lee Gifford.
I love that one.
Yeah.
So who came up with that?
She came up with The Rock and The Road, and when I came involved, she added The Rabbi. But technically, I'm not the rabbi. Jesus is ultimate. I'm the rabbi commentating on the rabbi.
We actually were just learning all about you, and we watched some different shows that you had been on, and you talked about Jonathan Cahn.
Yes.
And him. Did he lead you to Christ?
Yeah, he led me to the Lord.
All right. And how old were you?
Oh, my goodness. I turned about 20. I turned 20 at the time he led me to the Lord. And I was invited with my friend to go to his congregation. At the end of the evening, they dimmed the lights and played the piano and prayed. I figured I needed all the help I could get. I was searching. They said, if you prayed the prayer for the first time, raise your hand. I raised my hand. They said, if you raise your hand, you've just been born again. I had no idea what it meant to be born again. It's a Jewish kid should not get born again. I gave my mother enough trouble when I was born once. God only knows. But, you know, the Lord used him.
It was too late.
It's too late.
So once you raised, that was it. I said, too late. You're already born again.
He said, I saw you raise your hand. You have to stand up. There's no options.
That is exciting, though, at 20.
Yeah.
You know? And that was a little while ago. And I can imagine the past.
Over 20 years.
And has it been an amazing time, 20 years? Not boring?
Not boring. You know, God's got a good sense of humor. You know, he's, one time, a number of years ago, about 15 years ago, God said to me, I'm going to take you through the pits and the prisons, but I'm going to prepare you for the promise. And there's been some pits and prisons. There's been some stripping of the tunic like Joseph had along the way. But you know what? It's been a blessing. God has used it in our lives. And so we got to embrace this thing.
So I would like to first start off, God, talk about your book.
Yes.
Mysteries of the Messiah, Unveiling Divine Connections from Genesis to Today. Divine Connection.
Don't you think that's a fascinating title? I said, this is an intriguing title. I'm dying to read this book.
Well, tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of reasons why I wrote the book. I mean, one is, I'll never forget, I was right before the Super Bowl. And I decided to go out and get a high-definition television. You see the games. And I was like, this isn't so great. And then I had a realization at the end of the game, I'm flipping through the channels, that the higher channels were the high-definition channels. I watched the whole game in standard definition. Oh, wow.
You didn't use your HD. That's what I was thinking.
Right. But I feel like many people read the Bible in standard definition when God wants to see us in standard definition. When we understand how the old and the new connect, it brings the Bible to life and it reveals mysteries that maybe we might have missed.
It makes it so much more exciting. I think I did that. I think I was trying to read it when I was young, and I was trying to read it even in college. And I was often in the Old Testament. And I actually had a friend who, he was a strong Christian, and he asked me what my favorite book, because he thought I was a strong Christian. So I've been in church my whole life. And he asked me what my favorite book in the Bible was. And I said, the Old Testament. And he went, I remember his face now. He was very kind at the time, right? He looked confused. And so he was kind, but eventually I attended church. There was a new church being built in Plano. They had outside Dr. Gene Getz coming soon, whatever. And a friend of mine said, I wonder if that's Dr. Gene Getz that wrote The Measure of a Man, right? And so we started, and I'd grown up Baptist, so I'd never been to a Bible church before. Right. And I had never been to hear a pastor who, he like acted out the like Romans. He did the whole book. He acted it out every week, right? And so it just, I never realized I could learn the Bible like that.
Right.
And it really changed my life. And one of the best ones was seminary. I wanted to learn more. And, but it's, I tell you that the mysteries of the Messiah, you want to share some of those?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, for example, what we talked about, Messiah in creation, because the idea is that everything that's written in the Bible points to Jesus. We see this from the very first letter in Hebrew. The Genesis opens up with the word Bereshit, it's beginning, the letter B in Hebrew. Last word of the book of Revelation, the last of the Bible is where in Hebrew, the first and last letters of the Bible spell the word Ben, which means between the first letter to the last letter and all peace. And, you know, when we think about creation, think about it for a moment, it all started in the garden. You know, the symbol of Christianity is the cross. Well, why did Jesus have to die? Well, think about it for a moment. How did sin enter the world? The first man and woman took from the tree. Couldn't fix it. So God put the second Adam, Jesus, back on the tree for you and me to redeem and to repair what it is that they broke. Jesus' hands were pierced because our hands stole from the tree. His side was pierced because the first, the woman who led Adam into temptation was taken from his sides, making atonement for Eve as well. His feet are pierced. Why? Because what's the first messianic prophecy? The seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Satan's mocking the promises of God. He nails Jesus' feet to the tree, but he didn't realize he was actually fulfilling the promises of God. A crown of thorns on his head. Why? What's the sign of the curse of creation? The ground would produce thorns and thistles. He's literally taking the curse of creation on his head to break the curse and to restore the blessing.
My goodness. Did you know all that?
I had not looked into the symbolism behind all those parts of the logic.
He was a seminary professor. I tell him so much. I say, oh my gosh, with all our seminary training, there is so much that we don't know. And a lot of things that, you know, was academic, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we've learned so much in the last probably 10 years. Just unbelievable. And you were a Jew. You are a Jew. You're Jewish by blood, right?
Yeah.
And then were you an unbelieving Jew?
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in a traditional Jewish family in the Holy Land, New Jersey. A little more Jews than in Jerusalem.
Yes, there are there.
And I was working in the music industry, and it through the lives of all these famous people, said there has to be more to life than just this. We got a spiritual journey. Started singing with my rabbi, and God just kind of led me on this path.
Well, I tell you, it's good to meet you. And one of the things that you know, we haven't.
I know.
That's why I'm not used to it right now. But that's all right. Your involvement with The Chosen, what is it exactly? What does that do with them?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been involved with The Chosen from its inception, from the time it was a vision to make the series. I took Dallas and a number of the team to Israel, because part of the decision from the inception is that they wanted to bring the stories into its original Jewish, historic, Hebraic context. So we're like, look, we've got to go to the land of Israel. We've got to see where it happened, and let's walk through this. And so was there when they were making the original promotional crowdfunding video in Israel. And so, you know, I've helped make a number of different videos for The Chosen to help launch it and raise the funds for it. I was the first spiritual advisor on The Chosen, so read all the scripts for both the biblical accuracy of the scripts, as well as the, you know, all the Jewish aspects of the scripts, advising them on. And then we also have we do all the roundtables for The Chosen, behind the scenes roundtables. And then we have actually a TV show on TVN called The Chosen Unveiled, where we take clips of The Chosen and we then explain the deeper symbolism of what's going on.
We have not seen that.
I know.
Yet.
We need to look at that.
We do.
Yeah.
Well, and tell me what you said about the first season of The Chosen, because we went through it.
We said many things about it, but it took us a year after the first series came on TV before we even looked at it.
Right.
And we kept thinking, we just thought it was another Jesus meeting or something. Yeah. We weren't sure. And then so we, but one night we had some time and we thought, let's just watch something. And we decided to go ahead and watch the first episode one, season one. Watched it and were so absolutely blown away by that because of many things, but the realness of it for one.
Well,
and the fact that here was a production that, I hate to call it that, you know, but production that portrayed Jesus and the people around him in ways that were so much more realistic than anything I'd ever seen on the screen before. And I kept thinking, this is a Jesus. This is a Jesus. This may be Jesus for me, you know, when it comes to, I don't know, a face with a name.
Right,
And since then, we found that many people have said the same thing. I was touched by the compassion that you guys, whoever, built into that character. The people are so good in portraying characters that they do. You see so many.
But biblically, we were blown away. You know, I kept asking him. He has the PhD. He was the professor for 20 years. And so I just was there for like 7. But I was like, is this act? Like, what do you think about this? That, you know, that you. Because you don't really know what the disciples were like before they met Jesus, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, what do you call that? It's not biblical.
Yeah. Look, one of the things I love about The Chosen is they've chosen to, many of the Jesus films kind of portray this ethereal, otherworldly Jesus who doesn't even look like he might be physically present on earth, but he's somewhere else. Like he's, you know, it's like, is he fully there? Like he's so heavenly minded, it almost seems like he's unapproachable, right? What I love about The Chosen is that they really bring out the humanity of Jesus, right? And that, you know, he was a person that you actually want to be around, and that would be fun to be around and a joy to be around. And as well as kind of how the lives of individuals who experienced him, how their lives were changed. So Jesus, of course, is central to it, but it's also essential to it is the lives of the disciples and the individuals who find their healing, who find their encounters with God as a result of that. And I think that it's just a beautiful portrayal of Jesus that we can relate to in the heart of God, heart of the Father. And Jonathan Harumi is a friend of mine. I love, he comes to our house for a lot of the Jewish holidays, the holidays. Yeah. And, he was over at our house last year for Passover. My boys turned to me and said, Jace, they said that. They said, you know, it's a little weird that Jesus is sitting at the table and you're leading the Passover.
And you know, like, I was wondering for you, being the Jewish, biblical, you know, advisor, when they're using all these really real props. And so did you help with those, like, to make sure the props were truly Jewish?
Yeah. I mean, parts of it, yes. I mean, like, you know, initially, you know, for example, initially, when they designed the garments that they were wearing, the clothes that they were wearing, the tunics, they didn't put the ritual fringes on them in the tzitzit. I was like, look, there's, you know, right, you know, you got to put these on because Jesus wore them. We know he wore them because when the woman reached out to touch the hem of these garments, that's what she reached out and touched.
Now, what is that?
So it's like that. Yeah, in Numbers, it says on every four corner garment, you're to put these. You're to put these tassels to either the or tzitzit, and they're basically four folded over pieces of not string, but they're kind of a string, and there's to be a blue dyed blue one of them, and they symbolize one reminder to be faithful to keep God's commandments, and it's connected to the fact that the children of Israel, when they sent the spies into the land, they strayed after their eyes. And so it says, whenever you see these, you won't do like the spies did and stray after your eyes, but you'll remember to keep your eyes on me and follow, be faithful to me and follow my commandments. And that's what the woman with the issue of blood, when she reaches out and touches the diamond. Hope I can say this, we're going to see that in read the season three scripts. I can't reveal too much. But and it's actually a fulfillment of the messianic prophecy found in the book of the prophets. It says, and the son of righteousness will rise up with healing. The word for wings is the same word for the wings. So when this woman with the flow reaches out and touches the hem or the wings of his garment, the son of righteousness rises up and heals, and she gets healed.
See, I love you often. That's what you found where you were talking about. I was, and just that material, if you have any biblical background or training, those things help everything come alive. I was excited about to see Simon the Zealot actually be from the Assassin's Guild.
Right.
He carries Sicca, and they actually would slip up in the crowd and execute people, you know, things like that. So I thought, but it was so subtle the way things like that are included. And so I have talked up the authenticity of that series so much, and you're a huge part of that.
Yeah, it's been a blessing to be part of the community, a small part, you know, of the process. And yeah, it's incredible to see what God is doing with things you're seeing.
It's helped me, you know, and part of it is to understand, like, Simon Zealot, right? I'm like, but I didn't know he was an assassin, and he looked at me. Okay, well, I didn't think of it like that, right? Like, so to me, seeing it, I'm a person that kind of needs to see it all. And it's been, I just get so excited about it. It's been amazing, and we've told so many people. Let me ask you.